The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Oh boy, it is a connection we have all been waiting for. Guys, I have to say, I think Baker Mayfield may have heard his name in your mouth this week because he came out on fire last night. All right, everybody, welcome on into First Take. What's going on? It is Friday. I'm Charlie Arnold. We got Stephen A. Smith, which we're going to address what you're wearing in just a second. We have NFL analyst Ryan Clark and also Max Kellerman. So, Stephen A., look, you got a Falcons jersey on, and interesting who they're playing this weekend.
Well, you know, Southern Stephen A. will respectfully address this subject a little bit later as the show progresses. But what I would like to inform you both about Ryan Clark, Charlie, obviously Max Kellerman, what I'd like to address with y'all is the fact that I did not go out and buy this jersey. I showed up at work yesterday, and lo and behold, ESPN had informed old Southern Stephen A. that the Atlanta Falcons actually sent me this jersey with my name on the back and everything, okay? They sent me this jersey. They sent me this jersey because they have asked that I wear this jersey before their game this Sunday against those Dallas Cowboys because they know how I feel about them disgusting, nauseating Cowboy fans across America and across the world. So they asked me to wear this, and I guess even though I'm no Atlanta Falcons fan, I am a fan of the ATL. Let me be very, very clear about that. And so as a result,
would that be?
I'd wear this. But no, that's Lemon Pepper Lou. I mean, he went to a particular establishment in ATL, which I must admit I have frequented in the past, but that was a long time ago, okay? That's not recent, okay? But in the end, I am a fan of the ATL. So because of that and the ATL was on the front of this jersey, I figured why not? I'd add this to my impeccable wardrobe and see where it goes. I'm going to add a little bit more to my wardrobe as the show progresses, but for this particular segment, I'll just leave the room.
Uh-oh, you're going to be
in trolling of Cowboys fans
by the end of the show, Stephen A.
Oh, my goodness.
Excuse me, Charlie. Right. Excuse me, Charlie.
Okay, yes.
I'm saying I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you at all. That's all I'm trying to say. Let's do it. Let's talk about that old Baker Mayfield right there.
Let's go. Let's talk about him. He came out on a whole different level last night. He was completely turned up. It was at Baker Mayfield we were all waiting to see. He led his team into the battle for Ohio against the Bengals, and it was a smooth 35-30 victory. Baker throwing two touchdown passes, including that 43-yard bomb to Odell, and three rushing touchdowns added to that offense. On the other side, number one overall pick Joe Burrow showed great poise. He threw three touchdowns of his own, but the night, it belonged to the Browns. Okay, this was a very, very big difference from what we saw from the Browns last when they faced the Ravens. After last night, Stephen A., do you have faith? Is it now restored in the Browns?
Hell no. I mean, this is one of the most ridiculous subjects. Listen, y'all. I understand that Baker Mayfield, listen, I watched the exceptional analysis of Ryan Clark last night and this morning specifically. I understand everything everybody was saying. Listen, Baker Mayfield looked good. He threw the football relatively effectively. He was scrambling out of the pocket and extending plays. He was doing things reminiscent of what we saw when he won the Heisman Trophy at the University of Oklahoma. We get all of that. Kevin Stefanski, that's what he was brought in there for. As the offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings, some of the things he did with Kirk Cousins, some of the things that he noticed, he utilized his knowledge about Baker Mayfield, doing his homework on what worked most effectively for him. Standing in the pocket doesn't cut it. As Ryan Clark articulated when I saw him on television, if you scramble him out of the pocket and he's able to create plays that way, it buffers his level of confidence once he's ultimately forced to stand in the pocket because he got himself going. He's a rhythm player, et cetera, et cetera. I get all of that. Here's my problem, ladies and gentlemen. Here's my problem specifically with all of y'all, Ryan Clark, all of you NFL aficionados. Who was he playing? Oh my God, stop the presses. Baker Mayfield has returned because he performed against the Bengals. Really? Really? That's why we're excited? So you get romped, you get stomped, you get beat down just 4 days earlier by a Super Bowl contender and one of the worst teams that we know of in the NFL today, reminiscent from last year, and by the way, the year before that. That team with that franchise, with a coach in Zach Taylor that was coaching special teams before he ever arrived in Cincinnati. I'm sorry, we're supposed to get excited because Baker Mayfield showed up and showed out against a rookie quarterback who, by the way, is going to be a star in this league in Joe Burrow, a rookie quarterback playing for an absolutely moribund, pathetic football team. Zach Taylor, I'm going to give him a chance and assume that Cincinnati's going to be on the uptick, that they'll get better. But one of the reasons is because they can't get much worse. So guess what? The fact that you supported, that you showed up against the Bengals, and we're supposed to get excited. And then, oh, by the way, I'll end it with this, Max and Ryan. This dude actually had the audacity, the nerve, the unmitigated gall to go in front of the cameras and like, I'm not going to forget. Basically paraphrasing, I'm paraphrasing here. I'm not going to forget. You know, in the Baker Mayfield family, we don't forget when people count us out. Really? Against the Bengals? Seriously? Y'all go ahead, man. Let me drink my tea and just listen to y'all because it's just a waste of time for me to talk about what he did against the Bengals. Who cares?
In a 16-game season, this is not baseball or basketball normally with so many dozens and dozens and dozens of games. Each game is a significant piece of evidence. It doesn't mean we put it to bed, concerns about Baker Mayfield, but this is a positive piece of evidence. Yes, he wasn't as good late in the game as he was early, got a little sloppier. All that is true. Yes, he's playing the Bengals. They're the worst team in the division. That's why they picked first overall in what should be a really, really tough division. If the Browns can even mostly play up to the potential on their roster in terms of their talent. That's all true. But you still got to evaluate what you saw. Like play action, which like, I don't know why every good, the more play action you use, the better your fortune seems to be. Rolling Baker out worked. And he looked really good. He was exciting. He showed leadership. He made the plays he needed to make and then some. He won the game. And Stephen A, he played, if you just eyeball test it, you look at a guy say, is that an NFL quarterback? Yes, that's obviously an NFL quarterback. Is it a starting quarterback? Yes, that's a starting quarterback, what Baker Mayfield showed last night. Is it a franchise quarterback? That remains to be seen. You're right. Against the Bengals, with no preseason, only their second game, that remains to be seen. Joe Burrow, to quote Eddie Murphy from Coming to America, that boy good. Like, you can see Joe Burrow's going to be really good. He has it. But I'll tell you what, Baker Mayfield once upon a time looked like he had it too, and you can't pretend he didn't regain some of that last night and that he didn't restore at least some of the confidence that many people had. I certainly had in him when he was drafted, and I thought he was correct. I was surprised he was picked number one, but I thought it was the correct move. Stephen A., who do I shout out in terms of analytics about football more than anyone else? Sharp Analytics, right? Warren Sharp.
Sharp.
I remember when they hired Stefanski, right? Warren Sharp was talking about the fact that Stefanski is the perfect coach for Baker Mayfield. And I recall it had something to do with not being too predictable in personnel packages. I think the 11 personnel packages got too predictable. Whatever the X's and O's were, he broke it down analytically and said Stefanski and Baker are going to be a really good combination. Don't be surprised if they were competitive for a playoff spot. Now, whether that's overshooting the mark or not, that stuck in my head. And watching him yesterday reminded me of it. Yes. Baker is on his fourth head coach in 3 years in the league. 4-3. Alex typically would get it going until he had some stability once upon a time. Another number one overall pick who looked like a bust. Baker Mayfield looked like a bust. Who wouldn't with four head coaches in 3 years? Now, part of his underperforming is probably why you had a turnover in head coaches, no doubt. But when you're playing for new head coach, new system, new OC, year after year, you have to cut him some slack. And last night, he looked good. That is a nice piece of evidence if you're a Baker Mayfield fan.
Listen, last night was not about Baker Mayfield being who John Dorsey drafted him to be. It was about Kevin Stefanski being who the Cleveland Browns hired him to be. Because that was the whole point of this. That's what Warren Sharp was talking about. Not necessarily that Baker Mayfield had some things that we needed to see, but that Kevin Stefanski could bring the best out of Baker Mayfield. And if you watched last night, that's what we got. Baker Mayfield was, for lack of a better word, Kirk Cousins. Right? Because we understand that Kirk Cousins may not necessarily be your top tier level talented quarterback, but he's a good starting quarterback in the NFL. And if you do the right things with him, you can be very good offensively. So go back to the way that this game started. They got Baker Mayfield out of the pocket and got him some easy throws. And the one thing we've learned about Baker Mayfield is he's a rhythm quarterback. It's like getting a dude who shoots threes to the free throw line. He gets to the free throw line, watches the ball go in a couple of times, and now he starts to feel good, and we see step backs. Well, that's what happened with Baker Mayfield early on in the game. He was getting some quick throws. He was accurate. He was on time. He wasn't pressured. He wasn't hit. And then we get the stutter and go down the sideline to Odell Beckham on Phillips, and it's right on the money. He dropped it in like Salt Bay. That's what we need to see for Baker Mayfield. But more importantly, what we need to see for Kevin Stefanski. Because just much like we saw him on the Thursday night game where he comes in to replace Tyrod Taylor, he got a rhythm early. He started feeling good. And that's Kevin Stefanski's job. Here's also what's Kevin Stefanski's job. Even when Baker Mayfield starts to be dangerous, don't let him be a danger to your team. We watched him throw the interception to William Jackson, but even though Baker Mayfield was hot, what did we see? Steady dose of Nick Chubb, steady dose of Kareem Hunt. It wasn't let's make Baker Mayfield feel good because we're playing the Cincinnati Bengals and we can run the score up and Odell Beckham Jr. could get the ball. What was it? We're going to win this game. We're going to protect Baker Mayfield from himself. Nick Chubb is one of our best players. Kareem Hunt is right behind him. Let's use those guys and not put it all on Baker Mayfield. It was a masterful job of play calling by Kevin Stefanski, and that's what we need to see moving forward.
Ryan Clark, before I let you get on out of here, because we got to get ready to go, quick question. Football analysis, exceptional, as always, but I must ask you, because it was against the Bengals, did Baker Mayfield, based on how he has performed, at the very least the last year, did he have any business talking like he accomplished such a big thing? Yes or no?
No. No, he did not. But that's who he is. Let him be who he is.
Thank you. So I'm saying. It was the Bengals. Now, you've done that against the Ravens. You wouldn't have heard anything from me. But to do it against the Bengals and to walk around, I mean, this dude's walking around like he's special. Come on, man. I know Baker Mayfield's no scrub. He can play. He's got promise, Charlie. I haven't given up on him. But come on, to act like the world counted him out for no reason and you made up for it by beating the Bengals. Man, go sit down. Go to practice, man. Go to practice.
Giving him a hard time. You know what? I hope your tea can stay warm throughout the rest of the show because you're going to need to be sipping that.
It is very warm.
Quite a bit over the course of the next 2 hours. But guys, I know we're talking about Baker Mayfield here, but we do have to mention Joe Burrow. He is the first rookie since 1950 to have 60-plus pass attempts, zero interceptions in a game. LeBron even was super impressed, tweeting during the game that the guy was it. But, you know, on the other hand,
very touching.
Throw that much in
he's
every
got a
game.
Bright future.
He might not. Bright
it's very touching, Charlie. But he's got a bright future, but he lost.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Well, things definitely got heated last night. Miami going up 2-0 over the Celtics, 106-101, after Boston blew a second straight second half lead, getting outscored by 20 in the third. And then there was after the game. Tensions really spilled over. ESPN's Malika Andrews reported that Marcus Smart was yelling at his teammates in the locker room before storming out, swearing, and then she heard sounds of things being thrown around and other players shouting as well. So things really seem to be reaching a new level of tense within the Celtics organization. Kendrick Perkins here with us now, former Celtic champion. Guys, look, there's a lot going on here. Other members of the team, they did downplay what happened in the locker room after the game, but Celtics, they're now down 0-2. So Stephen A., do you think the series is over at this point?
I do believe it's over because I picked the Miami Heat to win in seven, and I don't see Boston winning four of the next five games. I just don't view it that way. So as a result, I do believe this series is over. I don't know how many games it'll end in. Maybe it'll end in six. Maybe it'll end in five for all we know, or go seven. But I don't see the Miami Heat losing, you know, four of the next five games. I just don't see that. That's number one. Number two, to put on my reporting hat, let me just tell y'all what I heard. In the aftermath of the game, Marcus Smart got into it. He was going off on a team, and Jaylen Brown stepped up and told him to calm down. We all a team. Let's come together, et cetera, et cetera. And they ultimately got into it. It was really about Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown to some degree getting into a heated discussion. Jaylen Brown more so trying to calm him down and Marcus Smart going to hell off. He didn't like the fact that he was called out for taking an ill-advised three when Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown were both shooting field, or in Jason Tatum's case, shooting 50% from the field. Jaylen Brown shooting 57% from the field and 50% from three-point range. Yet this Marcus Smart, who has been making threes, who made a couple last night, took an ill-advised three, and some folks had to talk to him about that. He didn't appreciate that as well from what I heard. But in the end, it's something that ultimately will blow over. That kind of stuff happens. Marcus Smart is highly competitive. He's a rough rider. I think he's been playing exceptionally well. And as far as I'm concerned, before last night, was the MVP of the Boston Celtics in these playoffs, considering the level of consistency, the way he plays defense, and more importantly, him hitting three-point shots with regularity in a way that he never has throughout his career. So I give him a lot of credit, and I think that, you know, obviously they'll come together because they got a lot of respect and love for one another. But that's what happened last night. In the end, the Heat, they've got their own Rough Riders. And somebody, I mean, we keep talking about Jimmy Butler, which we should. We keep talking about Bam Adebayo, who had 21-10 last night, which we should. Duncan Robinson is just a specialist. There are people in the NBA that are specialists. He is one of them in terms of his shooting ability. This brother pulls up from the parking lot. He hit six threes last night, six of his 12 threes. All 18 of his points came on three-pointers. That's what he's there for. He pulls up, and this brother can just – he's a marksman, okay? And last but not least, is somebody going to mention Goran Dragic? He had 29 in game one. He had 25 last night. This guy that's one of the older dudes on the Miami Heat squad – is giving it to the Boston Celtics in these first two games. We saw Kemba Walker raise up and do a little something more offensively compared to what he had been doing over the previous five games in postseason competition. But Goran Dragic has been balling. He has been giving it to them. And unless somebody figures out a way to stop him, Miami, who overcame a 14-point deficit to win game one, a 17-point deficit to win game two, listen, I don't know how you're going to beat them if this dude keeps giving it to them the way he's been giving it to them. That's why I think this series is over.
I agree with what you pointed out about the Heat Duncan Robinson, not all three-point shooters are created equal. This dude is not just a three-point specialist. He's a next-level three-point specialist. That's a big thing for the Heat team to have. I want to address, I don't think the series is over. At this point, I'm taking the Heat because I started out thinking Boston would win. Like, this is a toss-up series. Boston will win it in seven because of the shooting and the defense. Not that Miami can't shoot or play defense. But I like Boston in seven. I thought Gordon Hayward would be available. And given how their talent is distributed at the top of that team, they have four real big guns, and then Marcus Smart also when it matters. You take one of those pieces off, since none of the others are exactly MVP caliber, unless Tatum continues to develop into that throughout these playoffs, which is possible. But none of the other guys are someone you look at and say, that's an MVP, including Kemba Walker or Jaylen Brown, who are really good. You need to be at full strength. They weren't with Gordon Hayward for games one or two. That said, they lost those two games. And they could maybe stolen either one of those games, right? At least made it 1-1. Down 0-2 now, I like Miami. But that's not the same thing as saying the series is over. We just saw in these playoffs, Boston jump out to a commanding lead against the Raptors. The Raptors tie it up. Boston go up again. The Raptors tied up. They had to go to a game seven. We saw that the Nuggets, that it's the bubble, man. Like, you know, weird things are happening. Go down 3-1 to Utah. That series is over. Come all the way back on Utah. And then what they just did to the Clippers. Right, so I can't say it's unlikely that the Celtics come back from this, but they are getting Hayward back at some point. They should. And so I can't say it's over, but I want to address Marcus Smart real quick. I cut guys like Marcus Smart a lot of slack when they get upset, even when sometimes they're not totally in the right. Because Marcus Smart is talented, but there are more talented guys than him. But his level of competitiveness, when it really matters, makes him exactly the guy you want on your team. Much like Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's a talented player, but there are dudes more talented than Jimmy Butler. But his level of competitiveness, like a lot of players think they want it. Then you run into a dude like Jimmy Butler and you realize, oh, that's what really, he needs it. You know, it's a little different. Marcus Smart is like that, so I don't see him blowing up, even going at it with Jaylen Brown. I think like, oh, the team's imploding. It may just make them better.
Well, I see this series being over. I don't see it going past six. Now, to Marcus Smart, to Stephen A., to your point about him getting into it in the locker room and him blowing up and, you know, guys talking about him taking an ill-advised three in the fourth quarter, well, they weren't about the wrong things. The Celtics should be worrying about how they losing their identity on the defensive end, because the Miami Heat is having it their way in the paint, from the three, from the mid-range. They're getting whatever they want. I started to change Bam's name to Bam O'Neal because he was just dunking everything in the paint. These are the playoffs. He was hanging and swinging from the rim, snatching the screws out of it. Where's the interior defense? Marcus Smart had the right to go off because Marcus Smart, the whole game, he's guarding Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler is quiet. He switched on to going Dragic. All of a sudden, Jimmy Butler started going off. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, where are you guys at right now on the defensive end? Kemba Walker, where are you at? The Miami Heat are picking on you right now. They are picking on you. They're running you up in pick and rolls and trying to get you to switch out so they can create a mismatch. And by the way, people keep saying that Boston has the better team. And I don't believe that. I strongly believe that the Miami Heat have the better team, along with the better coach. Eric Spoelstra is the best coach in the bubble right now. The things that he is throwing out there, mixing it up, throwing out zones and putting the bigs in the front of the zones and the guards in the wings at the back of the zone and mixing it up, going man-to-man to boxing ones and his play calling. He is out-coaching Brad Stevens right now in this series. And then you go down the line, like you said, Stephen A., going Dragic. Not only has he been playing well in this series, he's been playing well the entire playoffs. The guy's averaging 21 points a game, shooting 50% from the field, 40 from the three. Bam, you talking about the best big in the Eastern Conference. I think he's number three behind AD and Big Jokic right now. He's so versatile. He can switch one through five on the defensive end. The only one that could do that. And let's talk about these two unsung heroes. The unsung heroes, Tyler Hero and Jay Crowder. Wow, what some minutes they've been providing, the production. I thought Tyler Hero was just a scorer, But he does everything. He takes pride on the defensive end. He's able to make plays on the offensive end. He rebounds really well for a guard. And Jay Crowder, he's just a flat-out gamer. Trade ball after trade ball, defensive stop after defensive stop. And let's talk about the impact of Kelly Olynyk. The Miami Heat team is deeper. They're more well-coached. And I think they had a better team. And I do believe that this series is over, and I don't see it going past six.
Well, listen, you and I were on a panel in Boston for that analytics symposium a few months ago. I know how beloved you are in Boston. So you could talk to the fans there. You could talk to the city there right now. Because here's what's going on, KP. You're Marcus Smart. You were complaining about the coaching. You were complaining about shot selection. More importantly, you were complaining about lack of effort. All of that has something to do with coaching in terms of schemes, which brings us to Brad Stevens, who's getting out-coached in this series thus far. I will remind everybody that 10 times in his coaching career, Eric Spoelstra has been 2-0, up 2-0 in a series. He has never lost. When he's up 2-0, he closes the deal. As a coach, he is undefeated. When his team is up 2-0, they have never lost the lead. So we got to pay attention to all of that as well and understand that Boston's backs is officially against the wall.
More importantly to me, and I know I don't want to disrespect Spoelstra because every time he's brought up, like someone like me has to bring up Pat Riley, but obviously he's a Riley disciple and it's a Riley team. Spoelstra, you're right. Perk is actually an underrated coach. But think about the culture they have in Miami and Coach Spoelstra. When you have a guy like Jay Crowder, who in a good year is the perfect kind of Swiss Army knife player, but depending on if he's having a good year or a bad year, you know, can determine the fortunes of a team like this. And somehow in Miami, all these parts are having good years. And that has something to do with the way it's coached and the culture of the Miami Heat.
All right, well, the Celtics definitely have some work to do. Game three tomorrow night at 8:20 in the evening. They're hoping to get Gordon Hayward back on the floor. He was upgraded to doubtful before being ruled out for last night.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And this is going to be fun. This man, he does it all. Our next guest played 14 years in the NFL. Now he is dancing his way into America's hearts on ABC's Dancing with the Stars. So now we welcome in Super Bowl champion and former All-Pro tight end Vernon Davis. Vernon, I just asked you if you had the day off from dance practice. You already told me no. You're a busy guy right now.
Yeah, I wish I had the day off. It's a lot of work putting all these routines together, but I'm up for the challenge and I'm looking forward to next week.
When are you going to get Stephen A to?
What made you decide to do it? Think about it. I ain't embarrassing myself like that. Hell no.
Oh, come on.
What made you decide to do it, Vernon?
You know what? After retiring, Steve and I knew I would have time on my hands, and you know, I knew I could put all the time and energy into it. And I feel like whenever you're doing something, you need to really take it serious and put the time and energy into it. So I wanted to pursue it and take on the challenge. And that's why I'm here and I'm looking forward to it.
Vernon, you started your career with the Niners and
and played with Colin Kaepernick. What are your thoughts about what's going on right now with Kaepernick, the way the league has used his image to kind of promote themselves while still not even offering him, out of the 32 teams, zero have even offered to look at him work out?
You know, I think it's a touchy subject. Yeah, I know Colin really well. I know he's a great guy. He's a stand-up gentleman. He's a hard worker, and most importantly, he's selfless. And that's what I know about him from my time playing with him. But, you know, everything that's going on is you know, I can't even fathom it. You know, Colin has really taken a ride here, and the NFL has did their part. But it's one of those subjects that I can't really touch because I don't know all the details about what's going on. I just see it, so it's hard to really put my finger on it.
Well, I'm not going to ask you to touch on it before I get into football stuff on the field. I'm not going to ask you to touch on that particular angle. But what I would ask you is this. Should we view Colin Kaepernick's situation the same as Eric Reid? Like, for example, Colin Kaepernick came out, spoke out on behalf of Eric Reid the other day, saying that he's being blackballed, etc. Now, Colin Kaepernick hasn't played since 2016. But Eric Reid has played the last couple of seasons before being without a job this season. Should we view both situations, whatever that may be, in your mind, should we view them both the same?
I feel like Eric Reid has been really a big supporter with Colin Kaepernick, and he's been given an opportunity to play. But there comes a time when those opportunities will run out, especially if you're still supporting whatever cause that is, and that cause being Colin Kaepernick's in about. So it's one of those things that I can't fathom. I can't put my finger on it. And we all know that Eric Reid and Colin Kaepernick, they come together as one. So it could be a situation where the NFL is looking at Eric Reid and saying he is in association with Colin Kaepernick. So let's take him out of the equation. But again, I don't know. I can't really say. It's something that we all have to really do our due diligence on and look further into.
Well, something maybe you can really say on the field, Vernon, is the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs are looking to defend their championship. It looks like, if anything, they got better in the offseason with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Who has a shot at knocking these guys off? Or are they just going to repeat?
You know, I think they're going to repeat. I mean, the way they're playing, Mahomes, he's always on top of his game. He's a special individual, special player. He brings a lot to the table. He's going to be one of those guys that's going to be in the NFL for a long time. He's going to have a lot of success, kind of like what Tom Brady has done over the years. But I look forward to seeing this young man play. He has the weapons around him. He can continue to get it done. And I'd like to see those guys go back again this year, for sure.
Hey, Vernon, styles make fights in any kind of competition. So in the National Football League, with the Kansas City Chiefs clearly being the reigning defending Super Bowl champions, when you look at the opposition out there, whose style, whose talent, whose level of play do you find to be ideal to go up against Kansas City more so than anybody else in the National Football League? Who's the stiffest competition you think can give them the biggest run for their money?
You know, the only team that I can think about is the Baltimore Ravens. You have the Baltimore Ravens, and then you have the San Francisco 49ers. Those teams right there, they match. And yeah, we could actually see the San Francisco 49ers back in the runnings. I think those are three teams that are really unique. The quarterbacks that they have, they bring a lot to the table. And similar to Patrick Mahomes, they're very dynamic, both of them. Garoppolo and the Ravens court. I'm sorry, I have a hard time. Lamar Jackson.
Yeah,
it's hard to get his name. But yeah, he's Lamar Jackson is he's special. He's one that I'm rooting for. And I love seeing him play each and every week.
You've been around Dwayne Haskins in Washington. What do you think of his potential as a starting quarterback in the NFL?
I think Dwayne Haskins, he's a beast. He brings it each and every week. I had an opportunity to play with him a little bit, especially in practice. He can get the ball from point A to point B just like that. And like with Dwayne, what everyone's saying is all about his mental capacity. If he's able to go in every single day study, first one in the building, and be that leader that the team needs. He can be very special in this league. He has everything that you want in a quarterback. He just has to prove it over time.
Well, if he's truly a beast, you were on a team. What you retired for?
You know, my reasons were personal. It has nothing to do with Dwayne Haskins. That's a funny question.
I'm just saying, you're a tight end.
You got to go on the stars, Stephen.
Your quarterback's a monster. I mean, stay.
You know what, Stephen? I wanted to go do other things, man, like Dancing with the Stars. Look, man, I'm becoming a dancer, and I'm going to open up my dance studio. Man, I'm doing it all, man.
Really?
It's all about the arts right now.
You serious about that? You serious about that, opening a dance studio? You ain't joking?
You know, I had an art gallery, so I might as well open a dance studio. You never know. You never know where life takes you. It's just one of those things. Life is unexpected. It could be a situation where, hey, if I do really well and I take a liking to dancing, then, you know, anything's possible.
A renaissance man.
So this is your first what do you go think at about this type of dancing?
But say it again. I'm sorry.
Have you ever danced like this before? I mean, it seems very difficult. You look like you're doing a really good job out there.
No, I never had. I do not have a dancing background. Dancing is something that I never really pursued because I never really thought I was good at it. But now that I'm in it, I see I'm having fun, and I think it's a good challenge, and it's something that I could actually see myself doing in the long haul.
Bravery, sure. Y'all. Bravery. Because I'll be damned if I ever do it. I'm going to imitate Will Smith in that movie Hitch, stand in one place and move that way. I ain't doing I ain't doing anything else. Oh, no.
You know what else is bravery?
You were dancing on this show. What are you talking about?
Making a fool of myself, Max, so it was a joke. I would never try seriously to dance.
All right, Vern, thank you so much. We wish you the best of luck on season 29 of Dancing with the Stars. You look like you're killing it so far, so keep it up.